Christian Rob McGregor welcome you to a place where all kinds of phenomena flourish. Voices whisper, ancient secrets, signs and symbols are abundant. UFOs, ETs, ghosts, and even the dead move about freely. Here we meet authors, researchers, and investigators of the mysterious, the strange, and of the inexplicable anomalies that surround us. Step out of the everyday world and take a journey into the mystical underground.
Welcome to the Mystical Underground. Thank you for joining us. This is Trish McGregor and
Rob McGregor,
and our producer and tech magician, John Posey. You can go to themysticalunderground.com. We make regular blog posts and where you can find out about our books. Among them are Phenomena, Harnessing Your Psychic Abilities, The Secrets of Spirit Communication, Sensing the Future, and Aliens in the Backyard. Our latest book is called Mind-Blowing Synchronicities, the Latest Science Stories and Research. Trisha's most recent novel is White Crows, and Rob's is called Tulpas. If you're watching us on YouTube, we would appreciate it if you would take a second to click the like, subscribe, and notification buttons so you never miss an episode. If you prefer to listen to the show, it's available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay, our guest today is Astaria of Light. Astaria is a creation-level evolutionary energetic and spiritual healing practitioner and multi- and interdimensional channel and intuitive who focuses on a holistic approach to personal and spiritual evolution, wellness, and fulfillment of being. She addresses the root cause of whatever is showing up in people's lives as a mental, emotional, psychological, spiritual, energetic, physical, psychological level, or any combination of these to bring healing, awakening, growth, expansion, and ascension level work for the mind, the body, and the soul. Her work is for those who want to know with clarity who they are, where they come from, and why they are here. Astaria is assisted by 12 souls, non-physical beings, which she calls a collaborative circle of consciousness. Together, they work at the design and creation level to aid in the evolution and ascension process of all life throughout all of the multiverses. That sounds like a big job. Welcome, Astaria.
Hello, Rob. And Trish, really great to see you. Thank you for having me here today.
Hey, great.
Yeah, how's good. India? Are you liking it?
Yeah, I really do. It's a strange and magical place. It's where primordial chaos and infinite beauty kind of come together, right? And they exist side by side daily through everything.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to start. I wanted to start by asking you, you went to India 5 months ago and you haven't returned to the United States. Why did you leave? And what were your plans when you left?
Okay, so that's a long story. So to shorten it, before we went through our most recent change, the soul aspect prior to our arrival at Orisis had been told by her collective, which is the off-planet team helping to oversee, you know, and guide the mission here. She was also a walk-in, got guided that she needed to go to India to do a yoga training in order to get more embodied, like build a more mind-body soul connection, which is essential to being able to function in daily life and also carry out deeper aspects of an on-planet mission. So she was guided to take a yoga training program at a specific school, was there for a couple of months, ended up meeting somebody that she had known for many, many, many lifetimes. And they ended up doing really deep soul information exchanges about one another's soul processes, which triggered her next phase of evolution and kind of led to a very deep level of development. So Orisis was in India from July until the end of August, went back to Mexico for a very short time, just a few days, gathered her things together, went to visit the United States to take care of some things and visit with family members, and then came back to went back to Mexico and was in Bacalar, Mexico, doing healing work on the water there, and came back to India on guidance from the collective to continue to evolve and expand into the next leg of her journey. And we returned in November from Mexico. Okay. So we've been here since November.
How do you keep all these names straight? I don't know whether to call you Jerusalem, Ardonia, Asteria. I mean, who are you?
Yeah, it's confusing. It's confusing for people because, you know, the level of evolution here is much more slowed down. When you're born here and go through the normal developmental evolutionary cycle. So at the creation level, when you reach a certain level of consciousness and evolution, the evolutionary rate becomes exponentially faster because you've already gone through all the previous levels of development, and it leads to shifting energy travels at the speed of light. And while the evolution in consciousness slows down across forms, it's definitely much faster the higher in consciousness you go. So with the evolutionary changes, it's hard for us to keep up with moving through changes so quickly. And then we also acknowledge that it's really difficult for people that we're in communication with who've known us across evolutionary shifts to keep up with what's happening and how it's actually working and what to call us.
Yeah. Well, can you talk a bit about walk-ins? I mean, that's what this whole process is about, right?
Yeah, it's about walking in all the different forms. So we're a collective soul walk-in, and the nature of our arrival here has been, as you know, really multi-layered and complex. It's happened over a four-year period. It started in September 2021. So when you're born into the body and you arrive here through the normal developmental process of being born and growing up, and the soul that comes into the body, that's called a native or a natal soul. And sometimes before our soul comes here, between evolutionary, between lifetimes, it'll work with various creation level beings in between lifetimes in a co-collaborative process to decide what their next assignment's gonna be and what the role for their next phase in their soul's evolution is going to be in the process of their evolution. You know, every soul, we're all the same at all levels of creation. We have an evolutionary process and we have a contributive process because we're individuated and we have to grow and evolve. And we're collectively interconnected to life. And so we have to contribute something. And so this is something that's a fundamental principle to all life, is that we come up in between lifetimes with evolutionary and contributive reasons for our next leg of our journey. So sometimes before a soul arrives, and every soul does this at all levels of consciousness, before a soul is going to go to its next life, in this case, arrive on this planet, while it's still in the realms of creation, it makes a conscious, mutually agreed upon agreement. Sometimes with an often more advanced soul, that at some point in its incarnation, it's going to leave its body during some point in its life and when the incarnated soul is ready to go. Because sometimes when a soul comes here, it's only here for a specific thing for a certain amount of time. And when it's done, it leaves. You know, this is why children die early. This is why people miscarry. This is why people vary in age and level of duration of lifespan is because every soul's got a different agreement that it's going to do and the lifespan.
So what happened to your original soul or natal soul after it was replaced?
Okay, so the natal soul walked out on September 21st, 2021, and it went on back into the creational realms in the unified field to take on the next leg of its journey. And to keep separation between souls, we don't track what happens once the soul leaves the body unless there's some interconnected reason to do so. So we don't keep track, and we're not allowed to know, unless it's critical to our own evolution, what the next phase of the soul is going to be. It creates the level of separation between the body and our and the new inhabitant in it, right? Mm-hmm. So what happens is sometimes one soul and another soul will make an agreement that when the soul will leave the body and another one will come in. And the purpose for this kind of agreement between one soul and another is because of the heightened evolution and consciousness of the more advanced soul. It doesn't need to go through the long developmental process of being born and coming into maturity associated with the most common form of human development. And so the reason for this being is that the advanced soul has already achieved through its lifetimes and transcended the level of development in its evolutionary processes that it doesn't need to go through a developmental process of learning about itself. It already is self-actualized, knows it's an aspect of creation, working at the level of creation, connected to creation, and it just needs a physical body with which to do its agreed upon evolutionary advancement in addition to its large scale contributive mission to aid in the evolution and the development of the collective consciousness of life itself. And this will vary for every soul, you know, depending on what its experiences are in whatever ways or capacities it's agreed and been assigned to. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have another
question. Yeah, I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Wait a minute, Rob. I'm just curious. Okay, Ken Lloyd has 22 people, but he is still maintains his name as Ken Lloyd. So why do you change your name each time? Is that what you're directed to do or how?
Yes. Well, yes. So what happened is we still have the legal name of the first walk-in, Jerusalem of Light. So Jerusalem changed on guidance her name from the natal soul's name to her soul's name, Jerusalem.
Is that the name on your passport?
Yes, that's the legal name. It's Jerusalem Neptunia of Light. So we have kept that name, but since we are not that soul, we don't go by that name in our daily lives because that's not who we are. Right.
Interesting.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, I thought you were changing passport names all this time.
Oh, no,
that would really be confusing.
Savvy enough to the human bureaucratic process and value our sanity to not do that.
Yeah. And so I have another question relating to the names because you went or your past self went to India to study yoga, and from my experience. Involved with yoga for over 2.5 decades, oftentimes the teachers, the yogi, more advanced teachers who are have ashrams, especially the ones in India, want to change your name, give you another name. Did you experience that too? Did a yogi want you to change your name?
Not in this instance, no.
Okay. That would have been really confusing.
We have enough names, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. All right. What is an oversoul and what is, talk about oversoul evolution too.
Okay. Would you like me to share so that you understand, so that there's connective tissue about how we got to the oversoul? Because that's part of the evolutionary process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would help people understand it.
I think so too. So the natal soul had an agreement with Jerusalem, the first walk-in. And when the native soul, who's the soul born into the body, leaves, and the other one comes in, another soul comes in that it had an agreement with, that's called a soul exchange walk-in. And Jerusalem was here from September 21st, 2021, and took on being the role of the soul inhabitant of the body. And she completed her evolution and her mission here on June 23rd, 2023. So when one soul walked, when there's a previous life soul agreement prior to coming here in the creational realms, and took for the soul that's born into the body, the natal soul, to leave, and another soul to come in and take up residence and pick up where the natal soul left, that's called a soul exchange walk-in. And that's the most common form of walk-in. So then after Jerusalem finished her evolutionary mission here, another soul aspect from the same oversoul came and merged with Jerusalem on June 23rd, 2023. And her name was Arnarnia. And so Arnarnia was here from June 23rd, 2023 until April 27th, 2024. And then Orisis and other soul at Jerusalem, Orisis, and Arnarnia were all soul aspects from the same oversoul. So what I can explain is that just like Source individuated into all of us to learn about itself, we're modeled after the creation that we come from. And so all of those individuated sparks of Source consciousness that became all of us are called oversouls. And just like Source individuated into all of us to learn about itself through the feedback loop of our life, our thoughts, our feelings, our experiences, our lifetimes are a feedback loop. And that information in the terms of a response is transmitted out into the unified field, and it's picked up through the whole of creation, which is what creates the collective consciousness of life itself. And Source learns about itself through all of its individuations through the feedback loop of our lives. So the oversoul, we're modeled after the creation we come from, which means the oversoul is the original divine spark of conscious light that's separated directly from Source. It is the myriad sparks of consciousness of Source light, aka like oversouls to be exact. And they were created so that Source could learn about itself, as I said, through the feedback loop. So an oversoul is the original individuation from Source and into an independent yet interconnected being, meaning that it came from Source and it remains an aspect of Source consciousness in the form of individuated aspects of consciousness of Source itself. So the oversoul's pattern and method and means of evolution is a replication of the same process as the creation from which it came, because they are aspects of each other. We came from Source, so we remain Source consciousness, and the oversoul evolves in the same way that Source is doing because it came from Source. So this creational way of being occurs in the same way that there's patterns of evolution within a species from each generation and individual within that species. It follows a pattern of inherited and therefore inherent process and means of evolution. And the means of evolution for the oversoul of its evolving, just like Source individuated into all of us, the oversoul will individuate into individual aspects of itself, into individuated aspects of it, of its own consciousness, to speed up its learning and its evolution through all of the individuations of its known as soul aspects. And an oversoul will have many soul aspects and it'll assign it different creation level roles and things to do to help the oversoul learn about itself. And so each soul aspect, yeah.
Well, I'm just curious, as these new walk-ins arrive, and this is going to sound really stupid, but do your things like your food taste change?
Everything, yeah.
Change?
Yeah, there's often very, sometimes there's slight changes and other times there's very in-depth changes. Uh-huh. So with Jerusalem, Arnarnia, and Orisis, they were all very different personalities, had very different ways of communicating, very different emotional responses, very different temperaments, very different ways of doing things. So an oversoul, when I say that there are three aspects from the same oversoul, basically an oversoul will individuate itself into different levels, different aspects, just like Source individuated into all of us to learn about itself. And so our Jerusalem, Arnarnia, and Orisis were the three last remaining soul aspects from that, from the same oversoul. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's how come they came in rapid succession of one another. Sometimes when a soul aspect from an oversoul has finished what it was assigned to do, what it was individuated for, it'll merge back into the oversoul. Or sometimes with the more evolved aspects of an oversoul's soul aspects, it'll merge them together to get the cumulative benefit of combining those forms of evolution together to do deeper learning. And that's what happened with Arnarnia and Orisis. Arnarnia and Orisis merged instantaneously upon Arnarnia's arrival, or upon Orisis' arrival. And Orisis came on April or May, was it May? Yeah, May 27th, I believe. Yeah, it's hard to keep track. But yeah, September 27th, 2024.
Yeah.
And
so do you keep track of all these dates? I mean, do you write them down?
Yeah, we usually keep them in memory.
So your oversoul, you are an aspect of your oversoul in the physical. Does your oversoul also have other physical beings that are a part of it who would be out in the world?
Okay. So what happened was on April 27th, 2024, Orisis merged. She was here as the last remaining soul aspect. And she finished her evolution here in terms of she realized, she self-actualized as a soul and realized that she's an aspect of creation itself. And what happens is when the last aspect of an oversoul realizes that it's a creation level being, it's the means, it becomes consciously connected to its oversoul. And because the oversoul self-actualizes through the last remaining soul aspect, they don't merge. They unify in consciousness and become aspects of each other. And so then at that point, the oversoul unifies into a completely merged oversoul, meaning it has no more soul aspects, and it doesn't need to individuate anymore to learn about itself, to evolve back into the level of source consciousness from which it came. It actually, at that point of its evolution through countless lifetimes, becomes aware that it's a creation level being. And then from that point forward, it no longer needs to continue its evolution through individuating into soul aspects. It now merges as a fully unified oversoul, aware of its creational level capacity as an aspect of creation through all of the lifetimes that it's learned about how to create through all of its experiences and its soul aspects, the very nature of its own existence in a self-evolving way, alongside the forces that govern, develop, oversee, maintain, and evolve all life. And the higher you go in consciousness, the more aware you get of the consciousness of creation, guiding and overseeing things. And the more conscious you get, the more collaborative you get in your own process.
Okay, to that end, does your oversoul have an oversoul as well?
We've merged into a fully unified oversoul. So our oversoul doesn't have an oversoul. We're joined together. What happens is when you finish the oversoul level of development, the individuated aspect of understanding yourself as a creation level being, you come into a place where you now are working. When you've learned how to evolve yourself back into the consciousness you came from, you now are responsible for helping other life evolve to that level because you've done it yourself. And so now this starts a whole new phase of evolution in the life of the oversoul. And it's called oversoul development, oversoul evolution. And what happens is when you go through oversoul evolution, which happened for us on September 7th, 2024, 3 days after we unified with my individual oversoul unified with my last remaining soul aspect, Orisys, on September 4th, 3 days later, we were joined together with 11 other creation level beings, 12 including my oversoul, as an interconnected circle of consciousness that works with creation. And it's through this process that we became the collaborative circle of consciousness known as Astaria. And that's a name assigned to us through the creation level beings overseeing our team as a frequency that expresses our unified levels of consciousness as a way of transmitting our frequency and vibration into the world through the way that we show up and address it. And that's why the name changes are important, because each soul, you know, just like in the Hebrew belief in numerology, where there's a whole science behind it of the vibration of numbers and the importance of how they determine your life path and your destiny. Mathematics is a language in many ways because it's a frequency-based thing of the universe. And the frequency of the resonance of a name is the expression of the transmission of the essence of what you're bringing into the world and how you're transmitting it. And so the name changes for that reason are important, because each soul aspect, even though it's from the same oversoul, it's been individuated. So they've been evolving separately from one another, being their own beings. And being different beings, you have a different name.
So Narnia is not with you, is not among the 12?
So what happened is our oversoul, Jerusalem, our Narnia, and Orisys were all from my oversoul. Jerusalem and Arnarnia merged, and Orisys merged with Arnarnia, which means I merged three of my last remaining soul aspects into one another.
Okay.
So that I could do deeper learning, because I was in the final stages of my evolution. My most advanced soul aspect was Orisys. And that's why she instantaneously merged with Arnarnia and was here a very short time before we unified together, and I finished my developmental evolution as an individuated soul aspect, oversoul evolving through soul aspects into a unified oversoul.
Now, do you still have family who are alive, siblings and parents? I mean,
I'm not from this planet, so I don't have.
Well, I mean, you were born here. Well, you're physical. So somebody had to give birth to you.
Right. The physical body was born here. Jerusalem never had any contact with the native soul's family, the soul who was born here. She only talked to them twice over the phone and decided that evolutionarily it wasn't in alignment to remain in contact with them.
Well, who raised you as a physical being?
The native soul's family raised.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So do they understand what you've gone through?
No, there's been no contact. Mm-hmm.
So when did this evolution start? Your awareness of this evolution begin for you as an adult?
Or child? Jerusalem came in fully conscious. So she knew. She knew where she came from and why she was here. She came in fully conscious to the body. Okay. She watched the, you know, she watched the native soul leave the body from the other side. And when the natal soul, you know, most commonly when we're born and when we die, barring some exceptions, you know, like if it's blocked or something, another entry point will be used, but we enter and exit through the top of the head. When we're born, the soul comes in through the top of the head. That's why the skull is soft and isn't fully formed at that time, because it's a gateway through which the soul enters and exits. And it's why we have a crown chakra. It's a gateway for entry and exit into the body.
So what do you see as your future now? What are you going to be doing? You going to stay there? Okay. Are you going to come back to the States?
We're going where we're guided. So we're here until May. Mm-hmm. And then we will be leaving and going to, as we know it right now, of course, depending on how things unfold, things shift and evolve. We're going to Tel Aviv and Israel from here. We've been asked to do work on the sacred sites in varying parts of Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. Wow. And be there for 3 months. Mm-hmm. So when you reach that first phase of oversoul development, the reason we join together as an interconnected circle of consciousness is because the level when you work at such a heightened level of creational capacity, it's more than one soul can do on its own. And so you join forces with other creation level beings and take on whatever roles that you've agreed to and been assigned to. And you join together in different groups. So we're known as what we're known as collective souls. And those are formed when multiple individual souls come together and merge or unify together as an interconnected form of consciousness. And this joining in our understanding is what is known as a collaborative. And together we form a unified interconnected group consciousness that operates together as one while still retaining our own individual conscious souls. So you can think of us as like a team of 12 oversouls who have fully self-actualized and are working at the creation level. And we join together because we're driven by shared purposes, experiences, and connections. And our individual souls came together and unified in an interconnected form of consciousness to contribute our individual energies, consciousness, and perspectives and abilities and skills to create a greater collective consciousness that transcends the boundaries of individual identity to take on doing work at the creation level.
So, when you talk about going to Jerusalem, what is it you're going to do there?
Okay.
yeah, or Tel Aviv, whatever it was.
Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. Well, what we've learned in a lot from in our time from traveling from the United States, because the self-actualization of our oversoul and our merger happened in the United States. And then from the United States, we went to Mexico. And then from Mexico, we came back to India. And we've just been following our collective's guidance about what to do. So we were guided to, this is explaining how we got there, is we were guided to come back to India to do more evolutionary learning. And we were guided to meet a priest who had, he's a Catholic priest, who had had a Kundalini awakening and developed, has a fellowship here in India as a Catholic priest. And he had been in the Air Force for 20 years. And after his awakening, he'd been told, leave the Air Force, open your own fellowship. You're going to be healing people in the name of Jesus Christ. And although we're not religious, we were guided to go spend time with him. And we witnessed 3 exorcisms. And during that time with him, and we also got baptized because he was guided that we were supposed to be in, and we felt that that was an important experience in our evolution. And through the time we spent with his fellowship and his community, what we learned is that an exorcism is actually a entity removal. And so we started to understand that everything in existence is subject to evolution going through a human experience. And it is part of what unifies and interconnects us. And what we've learned through, yeah.
Did the priest want to exorcise you?
No.
That's good.
Yeah. It is a good question. We're intelligent enough to know when to share and when not to share most of the time.
Okay.
We're on a learning curve. So yeah. We didn't share with the priest
about that.
That we're okay. Walking and we came from different dimensional realms.
Okay.
That might not go well.
Yeah.
But we stayed with him in his home and we practiced in his fellowship and we learned, we helped participate in one of the exorcisms and we witnessed the other two. And what we learned in our time here is that we've spent a lot of time with a lot of people from different spiritual backgrounds and beliefs in Mexico, in the United States, here in India, and working one-on-one with people from all around the world in our service work, in our energy and work and in our spiritual and developmental coaching, to really have been a part of so many different energetic and spiritual and religious engagements from so many different kinds of people from religious, socioeconomic, and ethnic backgrounds, that we've learned that religion and spirituality are different notes on the scale of the octaves of creation. And as all of the differences, they're all the differences between us are all interconnected aspects of the expression that make up the fabric of creation itself. And until we as beings can collectively learn to see and acknowledge this with a willing acceptance, there's not going to be any peace. And I think that's really hit home for us in a lot of ways. And the reason we've been asked from here to go to Jerusalem is to do healing work on the land because of it's where a lot of the inception in the human history of the hatred and the intolerance and the bloodshed and the violence and the hostility has run so deep, and it's the origin of a lot of that. And as the consciousness on the planet raises, we have to heal the source of the wounds. And so the best way to not just keep treating a symptom is to go to the source of the wound itself. And so that an actual healing can begin. And that and from that healing, a growth and an evolution and an awareness can take place, with which an actualization, a self-actualization occurs, and a deeper level of consciousness can start to take place.
Are you going to see any other healers?
No.
No, just yourself. Okay.
Just myself.
Well, that should be interesting what you find out, you know, because of the heavy political situation and then about what the spiritual growth and higher awareness is like there as well, and how the two are interrelated and where things are going, because it's a bad situation there, obviously. It's at the heart.
It is. Yeah. It is. And we're going to be taken into quite a few areas around the world to learn about different cultures and begin to see the underlying fundamental patterns and start to learn how to unify them and work at that level. Mm-hmm. That's what our team has been assigned to. We were told that our mission here is to walk the line between spirituality and religion and unify the two through an integrated understanding and working across the spectrum of human experience.
That's a big job.
Yeah. So how do you communicate with these other these other 11 within you? Or do you hear or see them? Do you know them individually, or how does that work?
No, so we're known as collective souls. And what happens is we manifest in various forms. So some can be a group consciousness, shared spiritual entities like Ken Lloyd, you know, where he's got 22 different ones inside of him.
Right.
Or they can be like us, an interconnected network of souls and known as a collaborative. So what happens is we unify, you know, just like a multicellular organism is made of different cells, but they're interconnected into a unity of being that operates as a whole. So you can think of our individual self-actualized creation level oversouls as a unified, interconnected aspect of one being who retain our own individual consciousness as souls and yet work together. So we exhibit a synergy and a collaboration and mutual support among us. We feel like one, and yet we know we're not.
Yeah. Do you have thoughts? Are you kind of aware of thoughts that don't seem to come from you, but come from outside of you, from the others?
We're interconnected.
Okay.
So what one experiences, we all experience as an aspect of the interconnected whole of us.
All right.
So like, for example.
Does it ever get confusing?
In the beginning, it was very confusing. And in the, because we're living at the evolutionary edge of existence all of the time, in rapid movement and rapid transformation, we have to pay attention to everything very deeply and have a deep perceptual intuition and ongoing dialogue with the creation level beings that we're working with source, which we call, you know, the creator God. We talk to him directly. And with ourselves to gauge what's happening. So for instance, Orsis had many, many, many lifetimes with the man that she formed a connection with in India at the yoga school, who she had remembered many lifetimes with. And it triggered her oversoul development, that connection. And she had deep, deep feelings for him, and the connection didn't work out. And there was a grieving because she remembered who he was from the other lives that she shared. And they had had a very intense connection here, totally centered around soul evolution and being on path in an embodied way. And we were experiencing this sense of loss and emotion and different feelings because other aspects of us had had connection with him in other lifetimes as separate souls, separate from Orisis, right? Because we're different. We're a collection of 11 oversouls plus Orisis as oversoul. And it took time for us to figure out where the different responses were coming from. And going through that process helped us understand that we're all bringing our collective shared experience to the essence of our own being. We are shared vessels of wisdom and love, and each contain our own creational level skills and abilities that we collectively utilize and contribute to our mission here. And we're an evolutionary collaborative serving as conduits for spiritual growth and transformation on a broader scale at interconnected aspects as a unified whole. And that's the best way we can describe it.
Now, the man you're referring to, did he also have other beings within him as you do, like you're 11?
He is going to be, he's in the final stages of his oversoul development. Mm-hmm. And he is going to be merging with the last remaining aspects of his oversoul and go through an oversoul evolution himself within his lifetime. Yeah, he's in the final stages. He's not aware of it consciously, and it's not our job to tell him that until the time is right, because you don't want to preemptively give people information and disrupt their process.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wouldn't it help their process?
When the four soul aspects arrive that are going to be merging with him later in this year, we are required ethically to contact him and let him know and offer to aid him in that process should he choose. There's always free will.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Ken Lloyd uses light language a lot in his healings. How about you? Do you use light language at all?
I've used it before on the show.
Okay. Yeah, we do use light language. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So are you open to doing healings then in the future with people who contact you through your website? Is that what you want to do?
We've been told to assist at every and all levels. So okay. We do work extensively. We work at the templates and blueprints level of creation, upon which the very nature of the energetic gives rise to the physiological form and all of its systems. Mm-hmm. So we work from the level of energy coming into at the creational states of being into manifested form, meaning we do work at the level of your DNA, at the level of the energetic anatomy of the chakras, the nadis, the meridians, you know, everything that makes up who you are, your energy field. So we do a lot of work because we're a collective. We can work at a broader range together. Mm. We do genetic clearing. We do DNA-related work. We do cellular regeneration and clearing. We do timeline clearing from each soul aspect. You live multiple lives and have experiences from any lifetime, even into this one, helping clear difficult situations. We do ancestral.
Each of these 11 has particular abilities and talents that
yes.
each of you could draw on. Okay.
Mm-hmm. What is DNA work about? How does that?
So DNA work is when you go in and you read all of the chromosomal resonation in the DNA and you trace the frequencies. First, you locate the source of a problem, and then you trace the frequencies down into the chromosomal resonation of the DNA, and you're able to read directly from the genetic profiling, the epigenetic expression coming off the DNA through the expression of the genes and the chromosomal resonation of the DNA itself, where the pattern is manifesting itself in your physiology and creating itself and being held, carried, expressed, and maintained.
Can you alter a person's DNA then?
Yes.
In what sense? To cure them? Can you turn somebody into a bird? When you talk about altering DNA, this is pretty heavy.
Our job is not to be God. Our job is creating the conscious level of the evolution of life itself. So
okay,
we haven't evolved to that level yet. When we do, we'll let you know.
Okay, good. Because I'd like to be a hummingbird. I want to try it out.
Right. Yeah. Well, when we learn that level of genetic transmutational work, the first thing I'm going to do is try being a falcon. So I'll let you know.
Oh, cool. Okay.
All right.
Well, then we'll take requests for you and Rob.
Okay? Oh, that'll be great.
Okay. Yeah. So do you see yourself being reborn into another body and another life after this one?
We've been told that we're going directly back into the creational realms and non-body form to work as a circle of we're going to stay the circle of creation that we are now for many, many, many lifetimes and continue to work at the design level where the decisions about the creation of life itself are deliberated, determined, brought into being and carried out at the creational level of it.
For individuals, you mean, or for
within the unified field as a creational level being, helping to oversee, govern, and maintain and evolve all life. We'll be working at that level when we leave here as a team.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the other 11 had physical lives on Earth. Do you know?
No, we did not.
Okay, that's interesting.
We're known as we're known as what you would call interdimensional souls. So we originate from dimensions of reality beyond the physical realm, existing in parallel or alternate realities, and we each possess multi and interdimensional awareness, allowing us to perceive and interact with realities beyond the conventional human experience. We incarnated here on Earth to bridge different dimensions, anchor higher frequencies of consciousness, and facilitate the integration of creational energies of heightened evolution for the conscious evolution of all life into the earthly realm.
Okay.
Can you see the future?
We can tell some things that are going to happen, usually within individuals' lives, and see larger patterns unfolding within the evolution taking place on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Are we doomed?
I can see.
Are we doomed?
No.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
I was going to say I can see the future in about 2 seconds, 2 seconds ahead of me. That's about it. But it has saved me by slamming on my brake before there was any reason to slam on my brake in the car. So that's worthy ability.
I think we're all prophetic. It's a matter of all things evolve through engagement. It's one of the fundamental principles of creation. Think about it. You know, being born on this planet, we come in not knowing how, having no personhood, not having how to feed, bathe, clothe, speak, walk. And what is that done? It's done through engagement. And that process of evolution takes place. Then when we come into adolescence and adulthood, if we want to learn a skill, if we want to educate ourselves, we have to engage with the learning material, mm-hmm. right? we get into relationships, and it develops through an engagement of a learning. So all that's a fundamental principle of existence throughout all, every layer of consciousness, is that there's the universal laws that are the structure upon which things are built. And then there's the fundamental principles, which are the creational aspects that bring things into being. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's like a universal law would be the law of polarity, the law of gender, the law of vibration. But a fundamental principle is all things evolve through engagement, because it's built off those foundations, right? And so through engagement, everything comes into a deeper sense of itself, and we're all subject to evolution. And
how does all this work for animals?
So animals are a group consciousness because they've not yet individuated into self-actualization of individual awareness. That's how come they're so unconditional. And they aren't self-conscious. They're just conscious. Because, uh-huh. Yeah. You know, that you'll see an animal and they'll be conscious, but they're not self-conscious in terms of how do I look? Am I being judged? Uh-huh. They just respond directly to you from the consciousness of their own being. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, it's a good expression of group consciousness. So plants, minerals, the plant kingdom, the mineral kingdom, and the animal kingdom are just unified. They're group consciousnesses. And each living individual contributes to the group consciousness, and they evolve through that group consciousness into a deeper knowing. And so that's how come when you have a monkey, who the 100th monkey syndrome, mm-hmm. where there was that one baby monkey that washed the food, and then the mother started doing it, and then the whole tribe started doing it, and then it started spreading throughout their area. And then all of a sudden, monkeys and other all around the world started doing it, out of nowhere. So that is a very verifiable proof of a group consciousness.
It's also morphic resonance is defined by Rupert Sheldrake.
It's done through morphic resonance in morphic fields, right?
Yeah.
Behavioral fields. Yeah, right. Exactly.
So, Astaria, do you travel out of body?
Yes.
Conscious? Can you consciously? Yeah, or consciously, you know, travel like to other dimensions? And
yes.
Okay.
We do so daily. It's part of what when we tune in every day, as part of keeping balanced and healthy and interconnected and sane and clear and coherent and organized enough to be able to distinguish between differing multi and interdimensional connectivity in an ongoing way, and still manage it in embodied form and incorporate it as aspects of being embodied as shared realities that are just expressions across the spectrum of being. We tune in every day, multi and interdimensionally, to varying dimensions at the same time, and communicate with our team, with various creation level beings, have meetings, discussions, carry out missions and assignments, do work on ourselves, collaborate, get supervision, cross collaborate, and then come back here and do it and re-embody and go throughout our day.
So you're never lonely, in other words.
Sometimes we get a little overstimulated and tired. But
okay.
How about contact with extraterrestrial beings or visits to other planets? Any of that involved in your work?
We do. We meet we meet regularly with beings from other planets, and we visit different planets throughout the omniverse, meaning the whole of creation itself is the omniverse, and then there's many multiverses within it. So we visit many multiverses and collaborate with many beings throughout the multiverses on a regular basis as part of our work. It's how we stay informed and aware and evolutionarily capable of interacting with all of the many different beings who are embodied here on this planet.
Okay.
Do the ETs have any advice for Earthlings? Especially at this time.
That's a broad question.
Right. Yeah, no.
That you are, by nature of design, a creation-level being. And that it is tuning in to the nature of yourself every day and asking to connect to the higher self that is the eternal, timeless essence of you. And allowing that relationship as you would with your partner, with your children, with your pet, to evolve through ongoing engagement and communication.
Astaria, thank you for joining us for this hour. And
tell people where they could find you.
How can they contact you?
Okay. I gave you the link for my website. Do you have that?
I think I probably do. In my email.
Okay.
Just go ahead and say it.
Okay. You can contact us at arnarniaoflight.com.
Okay, great.
Okay, good.
Okay, thank you again for coming.
Thank you.
And we're going to be interested in hearing more from you in the future, and especially your trip to the Middle East.
Jerusalem and Tel Aviv.
Yeah,
that's going to be
interesting. And we look forward to it.
Thank you so much. And for anyone who would like to know more about the 5 stages of oversoul development and the entire process from the time the first soul aspect arrived here all the way through, you can find that on the About page, because it was too much to talk about here in depth today. On my About page on the website. To make that accessible to people, can I send you the link for my website and you add that to the caption on your video?
Sure.
Sure, yeah, we can do that. Great. Yeah, great. Okay, we'll be interested in hearing from you in the future. It sounds like quite a journey ahead. Thank you for coming.
You are a traveling guru.
Thank you so much, Rob and Trisha. It's been our honor. We really appreciate so much. Take care. Thank you.
Okay.
You too.
Yeah.
Take care.
Bye now.
All right.
Thanks for joining The Mystical Underground. Visit www.themysticalunderground.com for the latest blog post and book info. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app. Listen to the podcast at podcast.themysticalunderground.com. Follow Trish and Rob on Instagram at Trish and Rob McGregor. Follow us on Twitter at The Mystic Cast. Send email to podcast@themysticalunderground.com. And until next week, thank you for listening and stay mystical.